Welcome to another installment of the Weird Pastors Kid Podcast. I am your host, Shelton Williams, and we have a special guest on the podcast who hasn't been on for a while, but he is no stranger to the podcast. It's my brother, my best man at my wedding, a whole bunch of accolades that I can give out to my man, but my brother, Kalen Williams. Say hello to the people, my man.
What it do, good people? It is me. It is me, the man, the myth, the legend. It's Kalen Williams. So yeah, I'm glad to join in. I'm really excited. Like you said, we haven't did this in a while, so it's good to jump back on. And it feels like home because you've been doing it so many times, you know. So yeah.
Exactly, bro. Take off your shoes. You home. You
know what I mean? Exactly. Exactly. For real.
Yeah, man. So first off, man, tell the audience or tell the people, man, what you've been up to. What's been going on since the last time you talked with them? You recently graduated, so talk about that for the people, man.
Yes, sir. As my motto in life is right now, talk to me nice. I am a graduate with a BA, so yeah. My price went up, so yeah, it's been awesome. Of course, I talked to a couple of the freshmen in chapel, the last chapel of the year, and we talked, and I literally was just like looking back at the 4 years, and I had a moment, not going to lie. I didn't cry, but I just had a moment of like all the hard work has paid off because it was finals week. So, you know, we still had to go into the grind of things. So senioritis was kicking in a little heavy, but it's awesome to relax and enjoy, to celebrate your win. You know, like looking back my freshman year, I thought I would have never made it. And now that I'm not a senior, a graduate, it feels good. Not gonna lie, it feels real good.
And you know what's crazy? I didn't even ask you to talk about this, but for some people, they don't know that the fact that you had to take a whole year off.
Yeah,
you took an entire year off. So, like, were there any times during that year that you took off that you were like, "I don't even know if I'm gonna finish"?
Oh yeah, definitely. I went to a very like what if kind of, I guess, space for that 1 year. Because, you know, 2 years successfully at a great school. I loved it. My major was there at the time. I was athletic training major. So taking a year off, and then I couldn't go back to the same school because, of course, they discontinued their program. So, like, I couldn't go back into athletic training. So I was just in it like, oh, my goodness. Like, everything is not going to my plans, of course. And we'll talk about my plans later and, like, you know, God and stuff. So it was definitely like a, like, oh my goodness, what am I doing? Like, do I want to go back? Like, what's the purpose of this? So it was a lot of, like, it was a deep, meaningful time. I tell people all the time, I'm grateful for literally stepping away from going to school for that year. I feel like I matured a lot more in that year. I listened to a lot of podcasts. Of course, that's when I got into podcasting. I listened to, like, I read a lot of books, like a lot of help books and stuff, just to find out like what was my purpose and what was my why in life. So it was a really good moment. I know you have this on the podcast, and I loved what one of your guests said. You won't really have any, I guess you can never question things when you never have any hardship. So, you know, it was a hardship in my eyes. Some people, it might not be a big deal, but it was definitely a time where I was like, this sucks, you know? So yeah, stepping away. Then when I got back into school, it was a little, I'm not gonna lie, it was a little difficult to get back into the juices of being into the education, waking up every day, 8 a.m. and stuff. So, I mean, it was a different time. But like I said, that was my biggest hardship, I think, was being away from school for a year and having to work to pay for school and stuff. So, yeah, definitely, like, looking back, you know, those people always like to make jokes of, like, oh, I spent this amount of years and X amount of things. Like, they always wanted, like, who struggled the most in college. But, yeah, you know, people like to make fun of that and stuff. But, yeah, you know, I'm not saying my walk was the hardest that I've ever heard before. But in my eyes, I felt like I was going to die. You know, like, what am I doing with my life? So, yeah, now that I've officially, you know, finished, it's great to just look back and like, wow, God brought me through all that. And, you know, I'm here now and going to go to grad school now. So, yeah.
That's great, man. Like, I think what I didn't realize until, like, I, like, you know, was, you know, left high school and all that, is that it's actually statistically better for a lot of people not to jump from high school straight to college.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I learned that too.
Yeah, I didn't know anything about that. Like, there's a thing called, you know, people that take a gap year.
Gap year, yeah.
Yeah, and they literally, right after high school, instead of going into college or doing all this other stuff, they take a year off. And, mm-hmm. you know, for a lot of people, that is so much better to where one, they know exactly, they know, I say exactly, but they know, have a better understanding of what they want, right? Mm-hmm. And then they have, so like, you know, now it's like, okay, if I ever have, like, you know, when I have kids, I don't want the one, by the time my kids are 18, college is probably going to be dead. Like, I just.
Okay. Idea of college, I think, yeah, we talk about it all the time.
Yeah, I think it's going to die because, like, I read articles all the time about, like, how Apple, how Google and all of them, how they hire people that didn't even have, don't have college degrees.
Exactly.
Because they have a skill. They know code, you know?
I was telling this to our sister. I literally was telling her, like, if you don't need to be a doctor and you have to get these certifications, that's the reason why I'm going to grad school. Literally, if you are a hard worker, the industry will love you. And I was just telling one of my customers the other day, they were like, they stopped me and they were like, are you doing something? And I'm like, what do you mean? Like, are you doing something else? I'm sorry, I felt weird to ask you, but you're really good at your job. Like, she goes, you have a great personality. Like, you ever thought about getting into sales? I was like, well, I mean, yes, but I've actually just graduated from school. She goes, oh, okay, good, good. I was just wondering, because, like, you know, hard work, people are going to notice. When you're a hard worker, people are going to notice. So I'm not saying, like, literally, I tell people all the time, you don't need college. You don't need a degree unless you have to get those little tests and you have to get past these board exams. But, like, if you're a hard worker, the industry will applaud you and show you, like, okay, like, I always listen to Gary Vee, and he's like, time will tell. Like, if you're a lazy dude on your butt, college can't help that. You know what I'm saying? Like, college can't fix it. So, like, certain rules and regulations that people like to go through, and me and Daddy were talking about it, like, you can really build your own wave now. Like, there's no need for the middleman. I feel like the idea of college being the middleman is kind of dead. People are doing things their own way now, and it's great to see it. So, yeah, I'm just so surprised. Like, you know, I think over time, yeah, college will definitely not be necessary.
Yeah, because I feel like college, for a lot of people, were like, college was the gatekeepers. And I think people don't think about it like that. Like,
yeah,
it's a gatekeeper. Like, you had to go through this gatekeeper to have a career, that could have X, Y, and Z. But now, because of, like, the internet and how the internet has exploded, there are no gatekeepers anymore.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, like, a lot of these things, like, you can learn so many skills just with the internet. You know, like, you can learn so many skills. And what's so great is what people don't understand it too is, like, even if you don't have, like, maybe you don't have the funds to actually, you know, have internet at your home, or, like, you can't have some of these things. Like, just there's so many people that learn, like, going to the library and using
Resources out there.
Yeah, like, there's all these things that can help you with what you want to do.
Yeah, I agree. Totally agree. So, yeah, like, I always joke, and there was a question one time in class my sophomore year, and one of the guys was like, do you guys think college is overrated? And I was like, I was the first one to raise my hand. I was like, yep. And I said it, like, you know, I said it and I raised my hand. So he's like, oh, someone has an opinion. He goes, you think college is overrated? Why are you here? Because I literally have to take an board exam, so that's the only reason why I'm here. Like, I'm only here because, of course, I want to get to athletic training, and you have to have a master's degree now because they changed the whole program. And you have to pass their board of examination. So it's like being a nurse or a doctor. Like, they don't just let anybody practice medicine, because that's, like, mostly sports medicine what I'm getting into. I said, if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't want to go. Like, there's no reason to go to college. Like, and I've learned so much practical being at the internship. Like, I've learned a lot more than a book can ever teach me. Like, just having that practical experience. Like, how do you tape an ankle? Yeah, a book can show you, but it's you don't know unless you touch an ankle, you know? So
this
for a book for certain things, you know, you have a great mentor in your life who like pour into you to invest in you and give you the resources. You really don't need college anymore. College is kind of overrated, like you said, gatekeeper. So
and what I find so crazy is that's why, like, there's a Democratic candidate that I liked his idea, because he was talking about how he doesn't like the whole free college thing, about how some presidential candidates are trying to do that, because it's an old model.
And true.
We can tell it's not working because, like, one, like, college in general, like, all the student loan debt, like, all, like, it's just such a broken system. And he's basically, like, was talking about how, like, why are we trying to invest in something that most likely doesn't produce good results? So he's, like, talking about that, and it's just, like, and it's, like, whoa, like, I love his, like, thought process about it, because I really think that, you know, college is not the best investment. Like you were mentioning, though, I'm not telling people don't go to college or anything like that, but I'm just
I'll tell them.
If you, like, basically, like, what you're saying is so true, like, if you have to have it, like, you have to be board certified, you have to, like,
yeah,
of course you have to go to college. You there's no one in here that's like, you don't want a doctor that didn't go to college.
Yeah, like, right, of course. I'm not trying to be stupid. Yeah,
we're not being dumb, but at the same time, like, with all of these companies now, they just want to make sure you have a skill.
Like, a hard worker. Like, that's what I tell, like, time will tell, like, you're going to get exposed. Even if you go to school and you have a piece of paper, and if you still are a lazy bum who literally just sketched his way with a C or D, time's still going to tell, because that's still not a skill set that you bring to the table for a company. So, you know, if you're hard, I tell people, like, hard work trumps anything else. Like, I hate to say that word, but hard work wins over anything else. Like, literally.
Hard work over talent, to be honest.
Exactly. Like, we talk about basketball. I don't want to get to sports so soon, but, like, if you have the, like, come on, man, person chasing after a ball on the floor, yeah, you might be more talented than me, but I want that basketball more than you do. Like, you know, it's the same with anything, and I always go back to sports, but that's so true. Like, I like that. The college, being college free is, yeah, it's cool, no more loans, but college still is dead. Like, there's no need for college anymore, yeah.
For real, man. So, I mean, just something I was thinking about when you were mentioning all that stuff.
Right.
Yeah, let me just, you know, talk about it and see what my brother think about that too. So
yeah, I would love to see what your listeners think about that too. That's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And of course, guys, plug, you can always go on our Facebook group page and talk about this, anything that we're talking about in the podcast that you want to talk about in greater detail. We can always talk about it there as well in the Facebook group. Just letting y'all know.
I'm a part of it.
for real, man. So I want to talk to you guys. A lot of you guys probably I mentioned it, I think, maybe a couple episodes ago, but I have moved to Dallas.
And yeah.
Moving to a whole nother state can be super hard.
That's exhausting.
Yeah, man, it's exhausting. But there's a few things. Besides missing family and friends and all those type of stuff and my, you know, and everything else, one of the hardest, two hardest things.
I'm taking notes, by the way.
Yes. Yeah, you got to take notes on this, all right? What's been hard with moving is, the first thing is finding a barber. Okay, listen, I want to talk to you about there's no relationship like a barber.
Okay, man. Can we run that back? I think you should say it's a hard thing is finding a black barber, because I mean, they always have Walmart that cut hair, you know, it's a little different. It's a little different.
Let's rewind, as a black man, okay,
yes,
as a
exactly. Black man,
finding a barber that can cut your hair.
Yes, it's
something important. That's super, super important for me. And so, like, you know, in the area that I'm at, apparently one of my the people that I work with is like, hey, I don't know any barbers around that area. He's like, you might find a super cuts, but I don't know what in your area that you at. So finding a barber for me has been tough, man. So the first barber I went to when I was here, great, like, talking, we talked back and forth, it was great, it was cool. The haircut was kind of subpar, okay? Yeah. It was just, not great, you know? So I'm like, dang, I remember when I left, I was going to, and Jaquel was all like, what's wrong? I'm just like, I said, baby, this is not good. I like,
because you know, the vibe wasn't right.
Yeah, and the thing is, no, the cut wasn't right. The cut.
Oh, this is after the cut. Gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah. So after the cut, I'm like, nah, this ain't going. Nah, this is not good. This is not great. Like,
self-esteem wasn't sitting at a 10.
Nah, bro. And the thing, here's the crazy part, right? So I get him from the app Booksy. You know, Booksy is all. So I'm looking at barbers in my area, and when I went to go try to find this guy, he doesn't have his own barbershop.
So he flag, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't realize that, though, because he is keeping up shop in, like, a closet of an actual barbershop. So I walk through the barbershop, and I sit down, and someone's like, hey, you here for somebody? I said, yeah, and I mentioned the guy's name. They're like, oh, he's in the back. And I said, he's in the back?
Whoa.
What in the world? So I walk past everybody. And then I see him. He was there. He was cutting somebody's hair. He's like, oh, hold up. You Shelton? I said, yeah. So hold up one second. So he's like, so he finished cutting the dude. And then I sat down. I'm thinking to myself, like, I should leave right now.
Question, how was his like how did his hair look? That's a one thing I always look for a barber, I'm not gonna lie.
Oh, you're right, you're right. His hair was actually not bad. His hair wasn't bad. Now that I think about it, nah.
Second question, how was his kit life? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, was the clip was straight? Like, you know, like, did he look professional?
Yeah, he looked professional.
So he wasn't a dude who just started cutting and only had like one blade and a scissor.
Nah. He looked professional. He had he actually even had like a part in his room, because he only had like a room.
Oh,
It was just a room. But in the room, he had like a whole thing of like things he sells, like a bunch of hair products and like
okay.
and stuff like that. So
He
that
had
was
the
good.
image. He
And
had
he
the
had
image.
some, yeah, and he had like certain like barbers that were coming to him asking if he had stuff. And
Okay.
he was like giving, so it was like some of the barbers in there were asking him for some stuff. He's like, oh yeah, I got this. And so
He was a
he
black dude.
yeah, black guy. And he was, so he had it didn't seem bad being in the room and everything. Just the cut wasn't that great. It was just okay. You know what I
Your
mean?
self-esteem was not a 10 out of 10, and every black man who get a haircut afterwards, their self-esteem is a 10 out of 10. You know?
Exactly. So I left going, it was okay. And Jaquel was like, it's a good haircut. I'm like, baby, this ain't great. This is not a good haircut. So then I was like, look, I said, I ain't going back to that dude. So I said, let me go to somebody else. So I
It was
went
the
to
same
some,
shop.
no, it was a whole different shop, different whole different part of town.
Gotcha.
I found this one guy. He has some, like he has 200 reviews, and they all good reviews, all
Yeah.
good reviews, right? So I said, all right, this can't be bad. So I go to the bar. This happened just yesterday. I went to the barber shop, and he was cool. So I sat in the chair. Now the only problem with him, my haircut is 3,000 times better than the last guy, like
Nice. Yeah.
super nice. But the only problem is he don't talk. Like he really like
Oh, people skills.
no real people skills like that. But he gonna cut your hair pristine, and you're gonna
Gotcha.
leave fine. So I left him, and she was like, so this gonna he gonna be a barber? I was like,
Yeah, can't commit yet. It's too
yeah, we
early.
can't
We gotta
commit.
go on
Like people,
the second date.
a barber that's a serious relationship, bro. Like people don't understand, bro, that like a black man and his barber, like that's a real
That's a whole different
serious thing. You know what I'm saying? Like
Like, that's
it's,
literally the relationship.
yeah, and like because me and you had the same barber, D, and D,
People don't know that, but yeah.
yeah, and D the barber in Lakeland. I'm gonna give him all kind of business now,
Heck
okay?
yeah, Ralph's Barbershop.
Ralph Barbershop in Lakeland, Florida, okay? You look for a barber named D. You probably you have to book him early because he always full,
Sold
okay?
out. Yeah.
Yes, he sold out every day on Fifth Avenue. But he's real good. But what I love about D is like me and him had a really good relationship. Like we talked about
Life, yeah.
everything. Like we talked about life, we talked about God, like we talked about like spiritual, like just different stuff he's going through spiritually. He asked me a lot of questions, so like. So now I'm like I'm putting every barber to that standard, bro. Like,
High.
you know what I mean? The bar set too high. Maybe I should just look for a barber to cut my hair and go. But I
No, no,
want something more than that, man. Like, I don't know. I want something better.
You don't want to sit with someone who's going to cut your hair, let's just say roughly an hour or less, and y'all just don't talk at all. That's just like, yeah, it's not fun, you know?
Yeah.
Not having any conversation, but he touching you know? Like,
Yeah.
he's taking you out to date, take me out for a drink before you touch all over me, you feel me?
Give me some foreplay first or something, dog. You know what I mean?
Exactly,
All
for
right,
real.
all right. Sorry, some of y'all ain't don't understand, and this sounds so weird to y'all, but I'm just letting y'all know a black man and his barber—that's something serious,
Oh
okay?
yeah.
That's something serious.
Are
All
you
right,
trying
so.
someone else next, probably?
Oh, what'd you say?
You gonna try someone else?
I might, yeah, I think I may try someone else. I may try someone else, or I may stick with him. I mean, his cut was nice. His cut was
Was the
really
person
nice.
partial? Did he have any people skills? Did he talk? Did y'all get to know each other? No,
The guy who cut me yesterday?
the first dude who you said was
Oh
is
yeah, bro. The first dude was real personable. Like I found out everything about him. Like let me put it like this. I wish I had the conversation of the first guy, but the cut of the second guy. That would be the perfect dude. The
Yeah, you know
perfect
what
guy.
D told me, because anyways, D told me on Instagram is the best place to look for barbers too. So don't always go through the app. I mean, because certain regions don't use that app. They use a different app. So you should go on Instagram and literally just type in barbershops, and then you can look at everyone. Most barbers, they feel some type of way when they get a good cut. You know, you getting a picture taken, they putting you on a gram. So go on Instagram and see. Just type in your area, where you're at, and see what pops up location wise.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna do that for sure. I'm gonna do that.
Yeah.
We definitely gotta do that, man. So I'm gonna make sure I handle that. And then so finding a barber, that's tough. And then also what's tough though with moving to a new location is finding a church. Like
Ooh.
that is a really tough situation because one is, being a pastor's kid, this why you if you didn't know I'm a pastor's kid, I mean, come on, it's in the title of my podcast,
Kid.
okay? For real. But being a pastor's kid, like I've grown up in church, so I know all of the church lingo. I know what I'm looking for a church. Like, I know what I'm looking into. So it's just been tough, like trying to find a church that I'm comfortable in, that I enjoy, that I like all that stuff. So I mean, it's just kind of tough. But
Right.
finding church has been kind of hard. Like I told you, like off the mic, I went to one church and there was like no meat to the church at all, like.
Right.
The person that was preaching, like there wasn't anything. It was really like there was it wasn't even milk. I don't even know what you call it. It was more like a motivational speech. It wasn't a real sermon, and I'm like,
Powder. Yeah.
I can't raise my family in this, I can't raise my family in this type of church, and I felt bad because like, I have like certain people that I know in this area, a few different people that, hey, try this church, right? And I tried these other
Recommended this church,
churches. Yeah, sometimes they recommend. I'm just
Ouch.
like, I don't like this church you recommended. Like, how do I don't know how to tell you that.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's just certain, things like that. So,
Is it different because you're at a different, like for a newborn Christian or someone who just got saved and just got into church and religion, it's easier probably to find a church because you don't know, like how you said you're a pastor's kid, you've been doing this church thing for a very long time. You know what you want from a church, and you know what you are looking for. Like for a new person who just found Jesus, you could say anything and throw Jesus on the label, and you're like, oh, okay, this sounds good. But for guys who've been into church and like ourselves for a very long time now, it's a lot different, don't you think?
it's 100% correct. If I was a new believer, I probably would love that church,
Exactly.
because they're friendly. They were in, like they were super friendly,
Right.
and engaging, and they were there for you, and they were asking us questions, how you guys are doing. Like they're like, oh, you guys are new to the area. Like they were really like,
Gotcha.
very friendly and very
So
much.
they're better than the barber. That's what it sound like.
Yes, way better, way better than the barber. So they had the niceness, the kindness of Christ, like they really had that
Nice.
aspect of it. But when it comes to the actual message, I
Right.
just it wasn't much there.
Yeah,
It
you're.
wasn't,
Yeah.
just not for me, And not only do I have the pastor's kid, I have to remember this too. I went to Bible college. So
Exactly. Yeah. You gotta teach you something. Yeah.
you know what I mean? So I really know a lot about that. So like going to the pack part of like, okay, I'm going to this church, I'm trying to figure some stuff out, and then it's like, wait a minute, this
Yeah.
ain't, I know my Bible, like I know the word, you feel me? So I mean, that's just what's kind of been like kind of tough. But we found there was a church we went to a couple of weeks ago that we really liked. It's a pretty big church, so we're just trying to see if that's some. So that's one. But we went to a church today that
Okay.
is more my cup of tea.
Really?
Okay. I loved it. The preaching was great. The music was what I'm used to, like really what I'm used to, like
Okay.
the black gospel music, got the choir, got the
I was
worship
just asking what
style.
type of church was it? Not to put race in it, but was it a black or a white church? But you said that.
So this church more now the other church that me and Jaquel both like is more I would say predominantly white church, but it has but the there's a lot of diversity in those churches. So like I saw like so many different types of people there. So but I would still say predominantly, a white church and what you would expect from white church. It's and the worship style is more like a Southeastern Victory, you know what I mean? Probably even a Warner. Probably some Warner.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably some Warner. So it's more like that. So it's more like, so I mean, the music is okay, but that's still not something I'm like, that's not my heart language. Like that music isn't really,
Yeah.
you know what I mean?
you're outside, like when you're outsider looking in. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and that's a minor thing, but the
Oh yeah.
preaching at this at the church, that we loved it, like absolutely loved it. Like the preaching was like from God there, and they have like connect groups that they have during the week. I'm
That's
not,
all that stuff, yeah.
and I'm not used to that, but at the same time, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, you're open to that, right? Yeah.
Right, I'm open to it. So that's really good. So the only thing is this church is so big that they have like campuses at different places.
Yeah.
And one of the campuses are really close to my area, but it's just the fact of they live stream the main campus on like a Sunday. And I don't know if I love that, man. And maybe that I don't love that for the right reasons. I'm still trying to figure that out. But I just don't find that as personable. You know what I
Gotcha.
mean? I want to be there where I can actually see the preacher, see the pastor. So I'm like trying to do that. But we went to one today where the preacher was there, you know. But
Gotcha, yeah.
then at the same time, that's only because we went to the main campus of the church. I found out when I, yeah, this church is really big and they have other campuses that they stream the live service from. So it's like,
How far was it from your area?
oh, not far, man. It was
Nice,
might
that's a win.
be
Yeah.
12, 14 minutes away. It was not bad. It was
That's
not bad. So, I mean, it's a good church. The music that is what I love and what I like more of what I'm into. The preaching was great, like really great. I really feel like we can grow there.
Right.
But we're just trying to see. We're still trying. So that's the funny thing. The two things is that when you're going to a new location, trying to find a barber is going to be tough, trying to get that nice relationship. But
Yeah.
also just trying to find a good church, man. Like trying to find a church where you connect with, where God, you feel like God is leading you there. You feel like, God can grow you there, and that you can have opportunities to not only have God work to you, but actually have God do some things through you. So not only God doing stuff to you, but also through you. That's a
Exactly.
church that you want to try to be involved with. So, but yeah, I'm really trying to. So that those are the two things that are the hardest, and about moving to a new location. But also too, though, which is crazy, is I really miss Publix, man.
Yeah.
I miss Publix, man. N nothing can beat Publix. I went to Kroger yesterday.
What is that?
Yeah, it's I know what is that, right? But no, it's it's just another grocery type store. It reminds me a little bit of like Publix a little bit,
Gotcha. It's
but
definitely not
yeah, it's not Walmart at all. Yeah, it's definitely more like it's a grocery store. Definitely a grocery store. It does remind me of Publix, but Publix is still better. Like it's just not even close. Like Publix is like 30 times better than most of these places out here. Like it's yeah. I feel like Publix like found out like what's like how to do this grocery store thing and just did it the best, you
Oh yeah,
know?
Chick-fil-A, like they have something about their customer service is just it's top notch. Like they're one of a kind. Yeah.
For real, man. And that's what I miss. Like I miss Publix. But I'm hoping maybe they may have a start like a chain out here. You never know. Maybe in the next 10 years, I might find to have a Publix out here, and I would be so happy about that. Yes. All right. So, anyways, I don't want to just talk about me and you, like where we've been. I wanted to talk about just some other things that I saw going on. Something, and I don't think you even know who she is. It's some, but
I do have my timeline on Twitter is they're not all saved, but I do follow saved people, so I knew about her.
I got you. I got you. So. My brother knows where I'm going with this is there was somebody, her name is Rachel Held Evans. And I also want this podcast to be kind of a Christian news type podcast too. So
Yeah.
I'll let you guys know what's going on in the Christian world. But there was a progressive Christian writer, preacher, speaker who passed away sadly yesterday. And well, today we're recording this on a Sunday. She passed away Saturday.
May 4th.
May 4th, yes. And so there's a lot of things that I didn't know much about her. I just found out things about her. I would say in the last 6 months or so is I found out some things about her. And she was somebody who was she cared about people the oppressed of the world, the people that a lot of maybe our Christian culture doesn't care about. There's a lot of people from the LGBTQ community, from the disabled community, just different people who are Christian, who saved, who were, and you know, and so many different women who were encouraged by her, right. Because she asked questions that a lot of women in the church had questions for. And so she's a champion for a lot of women that just was like, you know, and so she had to deal with a lot of abuse from men, from the evangelical timeline. And she fought through the hurt that she felt with the question that she had. And I remember there's so many different quotes I found out about. And one quote that people have been posting about her says, you want millennials back in the pews. Stop trying to make church cool.
Hey, yep.
I left church at age 29, full of doubt and disillusionment. I wasn't looking for a better produced Christianity. I was looking for a truer Christianity, a more authentic Christianity.
Exactly. Just being transparent. Like, yeah.
Yes, man. And I was like, wow, that's really good. And another quote that someone I saw had that she said here was, we don't want to choose between science and religion, or between our intellectual integrity and our faith.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, we long for our churches to be safe places to doubt, to ask questions, and to tell the truth, even when it's uncomfortable. We want to talk about the tough stuff: biblical interpretation, religious pluralism, sexuality, racial reconciliation, and social justice, but without predetermined conclusions or simplistic answers. We want to bring our whole selves through the church doors without leaving our hearts and minds behind, without wearing a mask.
Yes, and I like that.
Wow. And I was like, whoa. You know, and to see so many people that have said that she gave them a platform and helped them and encouraged them. Wanted to just talk about her a little bit for a moment. And just a little bit, and then we're just definitely gonna move on. But I just feel great. Just wanted to talk about her for just a moment there. And I'm feeling led to like read her books and to see what other people she has impacted. So, you know, and she's home with Christ, you know, and it's sad that she's left us. She was only 37, man.
That's crazy. Had a family and everything. So it's like, you know, it's what's so crazy is what me and Celeste had this conversation, our sister. It was the fact of like, you're not just one aspect of a person, you know, like she was a mother, a wife, and an influencer. And in general, because I see people like pouring out their love on Twitter, who I follow or people are retweeting. And like I said, I didn't know much about her, but I always saw her name. I read a couple maybe there were articles. I definitely don't think I read any of her books before. So I knew where she stood and how she had pushed. She was always pushing the agenda. So I like what she was doing in that aspect. So yeah.
Awesome, man. Yeah. So guys, just really pray for her family. I heard that she had one of her children. She has two children and they're really young, and one of the children I heard was under 1 year old.
So yeah, like, it was about to turn one very soon. Like I'm not sure when the birthday was. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, it's really, you know, it's really sad, you know, that she has passed. But there's some people though. There's someone that asked a question that I'm going to actually bring up later when we talk about Jordan Lucas, about her death. And they were asking like a question, you know, basically they asked a question to the timeline out of frustration that they're really hurt over her death. But I'll bring that back up later. So just remember this conversation we're talking about. We'll definitely bring it back up a little bit later. But I definitely want to talk about this as well, is some privacy concerns. Okay. I'm really feeling as if we're living in a generation where we don't even realize that our data, our information is consistently being sold, and we don't really like know what to, like we don't even realize that we've signed away so many like our rights, pretty much signed away our rights for a tech company, or for signed our rights away when it comes to different things. And I wanted to bring up something that I saw recently on the Twitter timeline and a Twitter feed. And I don't mean to scare people, but at the same time, I do want to keep us informed about things that are going on in the world. So there's a lady, her name is Mackenzie. You can find her on Twitter. And she was tweeting, and she was talking about her, you know, what things going on in her traveling experience on an airplane. Because she just said, I just boarded an international JetBlue flight. Oh, instead of scanning my boarding pass or handing over my passport, I looked into a camera before being allowed down the jet bridge. Then she says, did Facebook replace boarding passes unbeknownst to me? And did I consent to this?
Yeah.
So I want you to picture this. So instead of scanning her boarding pass or handing over her passport, they didn't want her boarding pass, they didn't want her passport. She looked into a camera before she was allowed down the jet bridge. Now here's the crazy part, right? Now JetBlue responds to her, right? Yeah. And JetBlue says, you're able to opt out of this procedure. Mackenzie, sorry if this made you feel uncomfortable. And what I love about Mackenzie doesn't let that end there.
No.
So Mackenzie asked questions that I would have. Follow-up question. Presumably, these facial recognition scanners are matching my image to something in order to verify my identity. How does JetBlue know what I look like? Let's be real. Let's ask a question. Now, these facial recognition scanners, and some of us, we don't even think about this stuff. Like, so much things that happen to us, we've signed away our privacy and we don't even realize it. Or sometimes we're living in a world where everything has been sold to different people, that we're just like kind of like, oh, we're a little bit okay with other people knowing our information. But I kind of want to keep going with this a little bit. Okay, so she goes, how does JetBlue know what I look like? JetBlue goes, the information is provided by the United States Department of Homeland Security from existing holdings. So Then I'm like, hold up. And now listen, now, so JetBlue is going back and forth with Mackenzie, right? Now, Mackenzie was like, okay, so Mackenzie said, I got some other questions. So yeah, Mackenzie said, so to be clear, the government provided my biometric data to a privately held company. Did I consent to this? How long is my data held by JetBlue? And even if I opt out at the scanners, you already have my information, correct? Now, let's be honest. Let me read that again. So to be clear, the government provided my biometric data to a privately held company. Did I consent to this?
All we want to know
is my data held by JetBlue. And even if I opt out at the scanners, you already have my information, correct? So yeah. Thank you, Mackenzie, for asking the really good questions here, right? Now, here's what JetBlue goes back and responds. JetBlue says, we should clarify. These photos aren't provided to us, but are securely transmitted to the Customs and Border Protection database. Sure. JetBlue does not have direct access to the photos and doesn't store them.
Yeah.
Hold up, huh? Let's read JetBlue's response again. JetBlue said, we should clarify. These photos aren't provided to us, but are securely transmitted to the Customs and Border Protection database. JetBlue does not have direct access to the photos and doesn't store them. Okay? So Mackenzie ain't letting this go. Because Mackenzie ain't letting none of this. Mackenzie said, hold up, another question. I'm so grateful for the Mackenzie of the world, because there's some questions we got to ask. So Mackenzie ain't done. Okay?
Yeah.
Mackenzie goes and asks, like, okay, we'd love more information about how my image was matched to a name on the flight manifest. I looked at the camera, and a few seconds later, the gate opened. Was my image, in the space of those seconds, sent to CBP, run through a database, matched to a name, and then sent back to JetBlue. So you trying to tell me you, oh, we don't have your photos. Customs and Border Protection does. We don't have direct access to it. So in those split seconds, when they took the picture matched up to the Customs and Border Protection database, ran through, made sure that her picture matched the name, then sent back to JetBlue for a response.
That's wild.
So is that what you're trying to tell me what happened? None of that makes sense. That all that happened, so all that running, oh, they have to store our information. There's no way that they don't have this information.
Yeah, definitely. I think, and this is my two cents. I think they might not store it, but let's when she buys the ticket, that information has already been sent to JetBlue. JetBlue has it at their flight documents, whatever the case may be. So like when she boards, they're storing it for that time. Once again, I'm not trusting anything any high-tech company, billion-dollar company saying, but that's the only thing that can make sense.
Bruh, needless to say, I'm trying to figure out who got more of my information, these private companies or the government?
As you can tell, Facebook is not the government, but Facebook knows our likes, our dislikes, our interests. So I have to vote these private companies. When the person with the most money talks, Facebook is a wild and out, man. Their industry of like their stock worth and how much, it's crazy. It doesn't make any sense how much money some of these companies are worth.
And here's the crazy part, right? So I'm going to do full disclaimer out here because I'm just me and I'm just telling the truth out here. So one thing that's great is Facebook and Instagram are great ways to get like your podcast to more faces, to more audiences out there. And what Facebook does, I can pay for an advertisement through Facebook or Instagram, right? Pay an advertisement, pay it how much per day, and then tell them who I want this advertisement to go to. Exactly. I tell them the age of the people I want it to go to. I tell them if I want it to be male or female or both. I tell them the interests, like the people's interests that I want it to be sent to. So send it to people who's interested on, like, let's say, Focus on the Family, or who's interested in Toby Mac, or like music. So it's music, it's styles. And so they have all this. So they have the data for all these thousands of people that I want them to send my podcast to, or let them have it on their feed for, right? So I'm paying the company, so that I'm paying Facebook so they can direct market to those type of people, right? So that means that Facebook has your information. They have all your info so that people like myself can advertise to you directly. Yeah. So what that tells me is Facebook has so much of people's information. And what this did was I went and I removed myself from certain things on my Facebook. Haven't done a complete clean, but like I took my phone number that I had on Facebook. I had the same phone number for like, I don't know, 6 years. And it's always been on Facebook. I took that down. I went and I removed certain, like, my thing. It used to say I work at Subway. Like, I took that off because I was noticing I was getting like advertisements for Subway, like a lot, like on my Facebook and my Instagram. And I was like, yeah, I'm pulling out of that. So like I took that down. Like, I took a lot of stuff down. And there was like, I got this one advertisement that was like, oh, work for Subway, you can get a grant. Yada, yada. I said, wait a minute, huh? I said, why is this on my timeline? So like, I took that off. I took different stuff off. But it makes me think, like, who knows more information about us? Like, these tech companies, these private companies, and so many of us, we don't read the terms and conditions.
No one reads the terms and conditions. You can forget that. It'd be like 7 pages long.
Yeah, and so, like, when we get upset about, oh, man, I can't believe that you guys have my information, we get all mad, they can just be like, hey, these terms and conditions that you signed and approved on, here in section 8 of page 45, it said that you consented to this. You know, so it's like, dang, you know what I mean? Like, and the thing is, what we have to, you know, like, remember, and I know this sounds so like silly, but if it's on the internet, it's on the internet forever.
Forever, yeah. Yeah.
You know, and all these people are storing all of this data so they can market to you.
Of course. You are a digital, and I know you just talked about Facebook ads, but literally, I read this article and we talked about it briefly off mic, but how you are literally people who shop online, like companies are always fighting for your attention. So you Google search one thing, you go check your email, you go check something else, they're gonna have ads where it says, oh, remember you were looking at this, or oh, you were thinking about
Yep.
this. So it's like you are everybody's attention. Every company is fighting for your attention. So like when you go into a search engine alone, Google somehow is getting all your information from your home laptop, whatever phone. They know that, oh, this is the user's Kalen Williams. He was just Googling this. I can go on my laptop from not my phone, go on my laptop search engine on Google, and it'll be the same like, oh, Boodoo, like you're here again. We know who you are, kind of thing. So it's crazy how everyone's fighting for your attention. And to go back to the terms and conditions, have you noticed that if you don't click term, like you agree to the terms and conditions, you can't even continue to the next like page?
Yeah.
Like you're stuck in a limbo because like, what are you gonna do? Not get the product? You're not gonna join Facebook? You're not gonna get a ticket to JetBlue? Like, and everything's social media, or not social media, but everything's like the digital age. So your credit card information, not to get into the hacking thing, but like, you're literally like, you have a. If you ever watch Wreck-It Ralph, and I just, this is a nice plug. I watched Wreck-It Ralph Breaks the Internet with C. And literally, they had like a nice little snippet about like he goes into the internet for the first time, and everybody has like some type of like avatar, like you know, like a avatar character on the internet. So like they're walking around, they're like, "Oh, I need to buy bananas." So he like runs to the banana store, which is online, of course, and he gets bananas because like you are always online, like no matter what you think. These devices are always listening, so it's just crazy. Like you will hurt your head, like thinking about all the stuff that we agree to.
Yeah. Okay, I'm gonna tell you something crazy. I was at my job the other day. I used my card to buy those big Reese's cups,
Favorite,
like
yep.
the king size Reese's cups. And inside the Reese's cups are Reese's pieces inside. Okay?
Nice,
So
nice.
it's the big Reese's king. So I just bought it with my card. I sit down, I go on YouTube to watch a video, and the first ad that pops up is a Reese's kick. King size cup with Reese's pieces in it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
With
it makes
Reese's.
sense.
Like, it wasn't like the regular Reese's. No, it was like, oh, here's the king size Reese's with Reese's pieces. You should have some. And I'm just like, how did you know I just bought that?
Exactly.
Bruh, it's crazy the amount of like data these people have about us. Like, it's ridiculous how much they know about us. And then they just sell what they know to these marketing companies. Like, oh man, because they want to get, see, marketing is trying to get to a point where they don't just advertise to the masses. They want to get to a point where they just advertise to people
You.
most likely to buy their product.
Exactly. Why would I target grandma who is 90 years old living in Alaska about basketball when we know Kalen, he loves basketball. We got a deal going on in Orlando Magic tickets. You know, like, come on. These companies are not stupid, you know? It makes so much sense.
Exactly.
Like, and we always talk about commercials and we hate commercials, but literally your information, like there might be a point in time where certain people from certain houses might get certain commercials. Like that's scary to think of, but the way like you know, the industry's going and the internet and how everyone has some kind of digital fingerprint on the internet. It's gonna be wild, you know, like certain people are gonna get certain commercials based on what they like, you know?
Yeah. Everyone's gonna have different stuff. And I feel like that's where everything's going because we don't realize like how much info we are putting out every day.
Every
Every
day.
day we're putting out information. Every day that people are realizing, oh, he doesn't like this type of juice. He likes this other kind. So let's just advertise this to him. Like, you know what I mean? Like it's so crazy to me the amount of information out there. And then I'm gonna ask you a question, Kaylin, because this is a question I don't think I'll ever get the answer for. But how much is a stream worth?
What do you mean?
All right, now I think that's a great place to end this episode. And so next week, I'm going to talk in greater detail about streaming. Me and my brother are going to react to a Joyner Lucas song next week. We're going to talk about that.
I already have it all ready to go. And so just be ready for us to talk about that next week. We're going to talk about the Avengers Endgame. We're going to talk in detail about the NBA playoffs. We're just going to have a really good and fun time next week as well. So finish up this episode next week. And then also, guys, if you're listening to this podcast and you're thinking to yourself, man, I really want to talk with a group of people about the podcast. Who can I, where can I, talk with it? You can, of course, follow this podcast on Instagram, on the Weird Pastors Kid podcast on Instagram. You can always find us on a Facebook group as well, where we talk about different topics. We just talk about things in general in that Facebook group there. So definitely try to find us and locate us there. And also, I am still on the lookout for a co-host. It's great having different guests here and there, but I'm thinking I really would like to have like a co-host, someone that I can dedicate my time with every week, that we can talk about different topics that's going on in the world, and just talk about different things about American Christianity as well. So I'm looking for someone who's fun, exciting, who is I'm hoping someone that's grown up in church and understands church culture, so we can kind of talk about it, dissect it, and see how we can be way better in this American Christian culture here. So definitely want to thank you guys so much for listening to this podcast episode, and I hope you guys have a wonderful rest of your week.